In 4 days, Chris Bowen could be the Federal Treasurer if Labor wins the election, and he'll find the circumstances facing the new government quite confronting. The opposition's promised a raft of changes to taxes while facing uncertain global economic conditions and unknown rolling fallout from the continuing trade spat between the US and China. And Chris Bowen joins us now from Perth. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Sabra. Still in Sydney, but en route to Perth.
All right, sorry there. Chris Bowen, just on Adedani, Labor seems to be straddling this issue, not saying whether it wants to review the Commonwealth approval decision or not. Is the party being coy because of seats? You don't want to lose seats in Queensland and you don't want to lose environment votes and seats in Victoria.
No, not at all. We've been consistent in our response that the Environment Minister and a short Labor government will comply with the letter and spirit of the law. And that was a very concerning report that you just aired, of course. We said at that time that Melissa Price should have held a full press conference explaining her decision and how she reached that conclusion. You'll recall the context of that conversation or that decision at the time, which was that she was being bullied by Minister Canavan and Senator McGrath, saying they'd resign if she didn't approve it, which is an extraordinary way for this process to be dealt with. The power for an environment minister is a personal power. It's not a cabinet power, and it's a legal power subject to judicial review. So it's one which should be very carefully exercised, which is what we've indicated a Labor government would do, an environment minister and a Labor government would do. And there are real concerns that this hasn't been the case under the Morrison government.
You've often talked about how carefully crafted your policies are. The first home buyer scheme sounds like it was done on the back of an envelope while watching the Prime Minister. Why copy it?
Well, when we see an idea which we think is reasonable, we'll say that. When we see an idea which is a bad one, and we've opposed many under this government, we'll also say that.
But perception's everything in politics. It looks like Labor didn't want to be wedged. That's hardly A-grade policy making.
No, Sabra. I mean, we think that this policy is one which, in the broader sweep of our policies, whether it be negative gearing reform, the National Rental Affordability Scheme, the build-to-rent policy, all policies of ours, which the government hasn't matched, that this could play a role, if carefully designed and calibrated, it's pretty modest. Look, not many people will be accessing this scheme. The government themselves acknowledge that, although they talk it up as a big deal. We don't see it as such a big deal. We see it as something which, if carefully designed, properly implemented, could play a role.
And that's the sentence there. If carefully designed and calibrated, may not be.
Well, the government's not put out that much detail, but what we've said is that...
But you've copied it. That's the whole point.
Sabra, if you could... this interview would work better if you asked the questions and I answer them. We think this is a concept which could work. We think it's a concept that we are comfortable with. Of course, there'll be detailed design elements to work through. The government hasn't put much out. But, you know, as I said, I think the Australian people, when they see a political party coming up with an idea, are a bit over the other side, immediately jumping out of the box and saying, what a terrible idea. We don't think it's a terrible idea, and we think it can properly designed can make a contribution.
The centrist think tank, the Grattan Institute, thinks the government is opening itself to a fair amount of risk with this, especially in a falling housing market. In the event of a default, the bank would need to get its money before the government, so why should taxpayers be pegged for this?
Well, I referred yesterday to the lived experience of Western Australia where the Keystart program, which is different, but, you know, it's a principle which applies. The Keystart program, which has existed for several decades under governments of both persuasions, actually has a default rate of lower than the market average. There has been no financial impact on the government. Now, again, it's not like for like, but there's examples in New Zealand. There's lived experience in New Zealand. There's also a scheme in South Australia. These schemes, when carefully designed, can play an appropriate role in helping people into the housing market. And all the prudential, based on what the government said, which we accept and trust, all the normal prudential requirements would continue to exist.
You have a very ambitious taxation and redistribution plan. How sensitive is all of this to the global economy? And we've seen more volatility overnight.
You broke up just a little bit.
Answer
the question I thought I heard, which is how do our policies deal with the global uncertainty that unplayed overnight. Look, we've consistently said that we need bigger budget surpluses to provide a bigger buffer in these internationally uncertain times. That's our policy position, and we have the policies to underpin it as well. We have surpluses, $17 billion bigger over the forward estimates, substantially bigger over the decade, and bigger in every single year. Now, we think that's appropriate. There aren't that many policy levers available in Australia. We have expressed some concern. The downside risk in the world economy and the risks entailed with our high household debt, second highest household debt in the developed world. We're very careful not to be alarmist, but there are risks, and we believe we need bigger buffers. And the policies that we've designed are highly progressive, but also good for the budget and provide a more sustainable budget bottom line, bigger surpluses, while providing for much bigger investments in health and education.
So you'll implement your policies regardless of what the economic conditions are around the world?
Well, Sabra, we're seeking a mandate to do big and important things, and of course we're going to put them to the Parliament and argue for them, and of course they'll be reflected in the first budget of the Shorten Labor government that I'll bring down in the third quarter of this year if we're elected.
Sure, but to the nub of the question, if there are severe downturns through the global economy, your policy is going to be implemented holus bolus, regardless of that.
Well, we believe the policies are right for the times, and I also come back to the point that I was making before. We need bigger buffers. We need bigger budget surpluses. The surpluses projected by the government are quite thin and would blow over in a light breeze of an international downturn. Now, while nobody is advocating or arguing that we're in a sort of 2008-9 situation of a synchronised global downturn, there is downside risk in the economy, and I want to see bigger buffers, bigger surpluses going forward. That is the right macroeconomic setting for the time. And we need the policies to underpin those, and we've got those as well.
Well, it's likely the Senate will remain hostile, regardless of whoever wins on Saturday. Many crossbenchers have already said they're not in favour of Labor's tax changes in the event of a major slowdown. Will you have to reassess the implementation of your plans?
Well, Sabra, I think, frankly, with respect, I think this is a bit of a false argument. I mean, I don't know who's going to win in the House of Representatives. I certainly don't know who's going to win in the Senate. These things are very difficult to predict. I've seen all sorts of commentators out there, you know, predicting the Senate with a high degree of certainty. Frankly, they're wrong. I mean, David Lyons...
Do you think there's a chance of Labor winning a majority in the Senate?
Well, Sabra, I was just making the point. David Lyons, for example, claimed victory in the New South Wales Legislative Council after the election in a similar voting system. I mean, they're hard to predict after election, let alone before. We're campaigning subtly to get as many Labor senators elected as we possibly can across the country. We're doing that today and every day between now and Saturday. Of course, the Labor Party hasn't had a majority in the Senate since the 1st of July 1951. We've got a bit of got some things done in that time, Sabra. I mean, Labor governments have got some pretty big reforms through the Senate. And, of course, we would say that we have not only have the mandate, but we're pretty determined. And between us, we've got a fair bit of negotiating experience. So we face this election with a big agenda, but also with an intention to put it through the Parliament. And, of course, at the last election, Sabra, the government claimed they had $16 billion of gap with us, but $13 billion of that was not only matters which would not pass the Parliament, had already been rejected by the Senate. So parties put forward their plans, and we're putting forward our ambitious plan at this election.
Mr Bowen, if the latest polling is to be believed, a quarter of Australians will not vote for the major parties. What are you doing that's wrong that voters don't like?
Well, Sabra, this election is pretty competitive and pretty close. I think, in fairness, the minor parties have been polling better for the last few decades, not just this year.
Major parties are doing something wrong that they're not attractive.
Well, we're putting forward our plans and our policies. Of course, the real risk in this election is the re-election of a Morrison Labor government reliant on Paul M. Hanson and Clive Palmer, with all the chaos and wackiness that involves. Of course, Clive Palmer seeking to revisit the matter of the $80 billion worth of corporate tax cuts, which this government has had as their policy, and Scott Morrison said that they don't flip-flop on.
Okay, Mr. Morrison, Mr. Bowen, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Well, it was a robust interview, but I didn't know it was that bad. But nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Chris Bowen.